Hey, this is Grant of Slow Leaves, and you're listening to CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo.
Traffic's just insane. Plastic people and paparazzi. Yeah, I know all the left coast cliches. Tell me, is there a bar on your corner where you buy each other beers and solve all the world's problems? Same. Watch the sunset. Our last night in Cozumel. Stumbled on some local wedding on the beach by our hotel. Though I didn't know the language, I recognized the tears. People crying. Across the ocean, seems like a million miles away. He says our worlds are very different. Yeah, that's true, but I gotta say, he's got his own kind of football team that lets him down every year. Wife he loves and a bunch of dreams for his country he holds so dear. He prays for peace and freedom. Sing.
Hi, Brett.
Hello, Mr. President.
Happy to see you.
What's same here in Ukrainian?
Taksam. We speak different languages in our life. Yes, but I think we appreciate the same things. Children, freedom, our flag, our soldiers, our people, the biggest treasure we have, and friends. And we are proud of our army who defends our freedom and who defend our lives.
However you talk, whatever you think, from the songs that you sing to the drink that you drink.
Fighting for our children, our parents, to defend our houses and families.
Love each other like crazy. Want someone to share your hopes and fears.
Taksam. There is no distance between our countries in such values. That is very important to see that they are really in many things really the same.
And popular American country singer Brad Paisley having a little chat musically with the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. And the song is called Tak Samo, Same Here. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо Кримського коріння на хвилі CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо. При мікрофоні Павліна. Dobrý den, and welcome to Náš Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you live on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. I'm your host, Pavlina. On today's program, we've got an interview with Vancouver singer-songwriter Adrian Glynn, who recently released a musical tribute to his Ukrainian grandparents. We've got Anton with a snippet from one of his recent interviews on the Náš Holos YouTube channel, and we've got news from Ukraine, as well as our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is we're going to change the pace a little bit. Get your dancing boots on, because we've got Millennia from Edmonton with a song that's become very popular recently in Ukrainian circles and also outside. Here they are with Tomu Kosa.
Добре косить, кому мила їсти носить і я.
A Ukrainian-Canadian singer who actually lives in Mexico now, that she's called Oresha, and that song was Kurinya, her most recent, and Kurinya translates into English from Ukrainian as roots. Vyslukhajte radio peredachu nash holos radio ukrainskoho Kurinya na radio stansi CHLY stoadeni CMFM umisti nanaimo. Hovorit Pavina. You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you here on AM or CHLY 101.7 FM live. And coming up next is an interview with Vancouver singer-songwriter Adrian Glynn. I spoke with him a few weeks ago, and this was our conversation. Adrian Glynn is a singer-songwriter based in Vancouver. He does solo music and is also a singer and co-writer for the folk band The Fugitives, which was a Juno nominee in 2022. His latest solo album is called You're Just a Place That I Know. It tracks the story of his Ukrainian grandparents and was inspired by his aunt, who's the storykeeper of the Ukrainian side of his family. His album was released worldwide just on February 27th. Adrian joins us now by phone to tell us the story behind the story, as well as his album and his music. So welcome, Adrian.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to finally connect. It's been hit and miss for a while, and it's great, great to have you on the show and learn about this brand new release of yours.
Yeah, it's nice to finally have it out in the world. It's been a long time coming.
Yo, you said you started composing it a couple of years ago, so tell us the story.
Yeah, I actually started composing it, almost 6 years ago, I think. Five, maybe a little over 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Well, basically, my aunt, my Tete Genia, who lives in Toronto, she's the youngest of three sisters, and she was the one who was always knew my grandparents the best. So she always kind of knew their stories the best. And I got to talking to her about 10 years ago in the cemetery where my grandfather was buried. And this was just after my grandmother had died, and my grandfather had been dead for 10 years. And we were just putting flowers on his grave, and she started telling me all these stories. And some I had heard a little bit before, but some I hadn't, and they were so interesting. And so when I got home, I decided to call her and record the phone call so that I could actually be able to go back to these stories. And I didn't really have a plan for what I was going to do with these stories. I just had this feeling like I need to get these. I need to be able to access these. So that's what I did. And then a few years later, I found myself at the Banff Center for the Arts in Alberta, which if you've never heard of it, it's amazing. You apply for a special grant and they give you like a hut in the woods surrounded by the Rocky Mountains. And you just sit there and you create, which on one hand is fantastic. It's also terrifying. It was my first time there. I'm sitting there just, you know, knowing that this is a place where so many great artists come and do great work, and I'm just sitting there staring at the wall being like, I don't know what to do.
I'm sure that was the same story for pretty much any artist that's gone there, because I had to have that very thought, oh my goodness, if I could just see myself doing that, I would sit there like a lump. And
exactly, it's that sort of imposter syndrome. But then I remembered, like, hey, I should listen to that call with Tete Genia again. And so I did, and then boom, it was off to the races. Just was inspired by these different stories to take them in different directions, to create little narratives out of them and write songs out of them. And that was the beginning of it. And over two sessions at the Band Center, over 2 years, I wrote the record and recorded it a year ago. And now here we are. It's out.
Wow. That's great. So you've got how many tracks on the album?
There's officially 9 tracks. Like there are officially 11. There's two little interstitial like trackettes. But really 9 full songs, yeah.
Okay, so how does an album tell the story of your grandparents? I guess about each song kind of takes us through the storyline, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's pretty much in chronological order. It's an album of songs that are like, I think of them as like sketches of memory. So it's not like I'm trying to be historically detailed and accurate. These are representations of memory. Because that's the central theme of the album is memory, you know, working backwards. The last song is about seeing my baba, my grandmother in the hospital, shortly before she died. And she sort of had a form of dementia, and she had some very vivid memories and she had some very blurry memories. And that's what memory is like, isn't it?
Right.
Some of them are so specific and some are not. Yeah. So the album kind of works that way. They're kind of little snapshots or blurry sketches of these different moments, mostly from her point of view. I think just about every song is from her point of view. And so, yeah, going right back to at 16 years old, Germans invaded Ukraine and they took many young women from villages and sent them hundreds of kilometers away to do different jobs, to be indentured laborers, essentially, for German families in other countries. And so that's where my grandmother was sent. She was only maybe 17, 16 or 17. I mean, I can't imagine. Just soldiers show up and they just take you from your home and send you away. And you don't know if you'll see your family again, right? So that's where the story begins. And it kind of goes from there in these different little stories. She meets my grandfather in a refugee camp. She watches him do Ukrainian dancing for soldiers to earn cigarettes that you can trade for money and rations. And eventually they end up in Montreal, which is where they emigrated to and start a family. So there's some songs that are about adjusting to life in Montreal, about raising a family. And there's a song about laying my grandfather to rest, which has a little Ukrainian choral section in it with Taras Shevchenko lyrics. And then finally her last song, Generations, which is her sort of mosaic of memories. So that's kind of the arc of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can listen to this and get a wash of all those, that whole storyline, her whole life.
Yeah, exactly. And in bits and pieces, yeah.
Yeah. So very interestingly, I recognize a name here from your press release about the choir. I sang in a choir that his mom ran for many years. It's Adam Kozak.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that's funny because I know who you're talking about. I know her as Tanya Kitka.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I went to Saturday morning Ukrainian school as a kid. Or I should say I was dragged to Saturday morning Ukrainian school. And our music teacher was this lovely lady named Pani Krika, Mrs. Krika. Mm-hmm. And so she would teach us Ukrainian songs and things. So when I was looking around for a choir to sing on this album, I got Adam Kozak's name. And I don't think I actually realized that he was the son of Pani Krika, my old Ukrainian school music teacher.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, and Adam's this amazing, he runs this incredible choral program at the secondary school he teaches at Windsor in North Vancouver. And he's so amazing. He's so devoted to these kids. He's got all these different choirs and they put on these amazing concerts. And I asked him, I was like, I'm sort of looking for like a men's Ukrainian choir, but I'm not sure that that exists in Vancouver. And he was like, yeah, that doesn't really exist in Vancouver, at least not at a professional level. But he was like, but listen, I got these young guys and they are great. They've been to competitions and I would love to give this opportunity to be able to sing on a real record and go into the recording studio and I'll direct it and stuff. And I was like, that sounds great. So that's what we did.
Wow.
And so, yeah, this funny family connection that kind of came back.
Yeah. Wow. That's wonderful. Well, yeah, that's the thing about little stories of local productions. This always happens, right? The 2 degrees of separation, not six, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, so the album is done. You said you're off shortly to take a break from the winter down south. And what's the next step? How do you get the album? And are you going to be doing anything to promote it when you get back?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be continuing to promote it wherever I am. It's out on all platforms, so it's on all the streaming services. I have a Bandcamp website, which is a good place. If you're someone who likes to support musical artists, yeah, then Bandcamp is great because things like Spotify, you know, musicians aren't making a lot of money off of that. But Bandcamp is great because, you know, it's by donation and you can, you know, pay whatever, $10, $20 to download the record and that goes into our pocket. And what's nice is you also get a nice little PDF of the booklet. So you can see, like, I have a whole beautiful lyric booklet with photos of my grandparents and all the lyrics and the stories and stuff, which you can digitally flip through. Yeah, so that's part of the download.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And I do have real, live, actual CDs, too, believe it or not. But for that, I would say just, if someone's interested in that, I'd say just find me online and send me a message. I haven't really set up, like, an online shop for that, just because not that many people buy CDs, but you can message me. But I will also be doing a big concert in Vancouver on May 5th. This will involve choir, and the choir will be a part of it, and a couple of Ukrainian instrumentalists and my band. So that's going to be May 5th at St. James Hall. So I'll be selling the CDs there, and that's going to be a big concert. That's the next thing on the list is to get all that together.
Oh, well, please, yeah, keep us posted with all the details. And Adam's choir is going to be there?
Yeah, his guys will be part of it. So that'll be really fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, so that's May 5th. So so stay tuned here to Nosh Holos. You'll keep us updated with the details and hope to see you there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, have a great trip in the sun, and thank you so much for telling us the story of your story and your album and your music, and look forward to seeing the concert May 5th. So keep in touch.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Congratulations. And thanks again, Adrian.
Thank you.
And in conversation with Adrian Glynn, hope you enjoyed that. And we've got a song coming up shortly from his album. But I would recommend that you go to Bandcamp, find him there, and download that, the PDF. It tells the whole story. It gives you so much more context, makes it so much more meaningful. So definitely support this young local artist. And and enjoy his music and his story. And here he is now with a song from that album that he mentioned in our chat, the one of his grandfather, dancing for the soldiers to get money for cigarettes to trade for food and whatnot in the canteen in the refugee camp, and his grandmother falling in love with him, watching him do that. Here's Adrian Glynn now from his album, You're Just a Place That I Know, Dancing for the Soldiers.
My heart wide open, like there were roses in your teeth, and you'd bring the planets closer, and you would lift me from my feet, and in the morning glow, you'd be beside me in my sleep. You were dancing for the soldiers, but I dreamed you'd dance for me.
Adrian Glynn from Vancouver with Dancing for the Soldiers from his album, You're Just a Place That I Know. And you can find the link to his music on Bandcamp in the Nash Holos podcast show notes for this episode. Vyslúchajte rádio predáču Nash Holos, rádio Krinského Korinia, na rádio stanci CHLY, 101 ECM FM, umístí Nanaimo. You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you live on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo.
This is Anton Lysenko for Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Don't miss our new in-depth interview with the expert in foreign policy, Oleksandr Kraev. Together we'll discuss the security assistance deal that Canada recently signed with Ukraine. The full version of the interview in English language you can find on the YouTube channel Ukrainian Roots Radio Nash Holos.
This is a big milestone, basically, for Ukrainian security guarantees and security relations with the West. According to our national security strategy, this agreement is a part of our wider cooperation with Western allies, and it's one of the first several agreements, others including the United Kingdom of Great Britain, Northern Ireland, France, Germany, Denmark, and Italy as well. So basically, now we're talking that Ukraine is creating some kind of a system of alliances in order to enforce our military industrial complex, in order to provide for more security, more additional help in munitions, in technical staff, in all kinds of necessities for Ukrainian defenders. And of course, this agreement is also a stepping stone for future Ukrainian membership in NATO. Canadian foreign policy comes in footsteps of the American position, of American worldview and American interest. But now we see that despite United States' failure to lead the West, despite the constitutional crisis taking place in the House of Representatives, Canada has its own initiative and has its own readiness and willingness to take an active role in both NATO and global security as well. That can be welcomed. That's a very good development for international arena, for international security. And definitely that's a good example for American politicians, because the Canadians are now in charge of the security issues in North America. That's definitely something to think about in the House. This year is the year of election. We have more than 70 elections in different countries, in different democracies all around the world. The main, of course, being the United States election. And if we speak about Canada, of course, the political process are also very hot and very on topic with everything. And for all the democracies, Ukraine is one of the, let's call it a marker. This is the marker of foreign politics and security politics for all the candidates. It's a marker of international relations for all the political parties. And basically, Ukraine cannot be excluded from political debates. Ukrainian topic is one of the hottest one and one of the most crucial, especially for the Western democracies. And that is why in many cases, we do see that Ukrainian topic is manipulated or in some other cases used as a political tool to gain some votes or to attack the other party. Continuity and the systemic nature of support for Ukraine is crucial for Ukrainian defenders, for Ukrainian armed forces, because we should be able to plan our defense as well as our offense. And we cannot make any strategic or even tactical planning without a definite understanding when, in which packages and within which terms will all the support be provided for Ukraine. It is not only about Ukraine defending Ukraine. It is about the systemic changes in international security. It is about the systemic changes in international law and international relations themselves. It is about that with the defeat of Ukraine, the world will change dramatically and the dictatorships may win.
Our own Anton Lysenko of Victoria in conversation with foreign policy expert Oleksandr Kraev discussing the security assistance deal that Canada recently signed with Ukraine. To find the full interview, visit the Nash Holos YouTube channel. You can search for us there or find the link in the podcast show notes of this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. And a Ukrainian singer who lives in Berlin right now, I think possibly Berlin, somewhere in Germany. I do know that. Her name is Jacqueline. She spells it J-K-L-N, and that song, a recent release, Welcome to Ukraine. Coming up next is Kozak Siromaha, and this is a Ukrainian soldier, a defender, as well as a musician, and quite an iconic character in Ukraine. He is a Cossack, a modern-day Cossack. He lives according to the Cossack ways from yore, from the 17th century, and is raising his family as well to be great defenders of Ukraine. And he's doing a lot of music when he's not actually at the front. He is entertaining troops at the front and around the world. And here he is now with one of his recent releases. It is called Zatsvistale Kozachenke. It is a song about, a love song about, it's set in wartime. I'll leave it at that. A young Cossack goes off to war and tells his sweetheart he's leaving behind not to cry. Kozak Siromaha with Zatsvistale Kozachenke.
Засвистали козаченьки в похід полуночі. Заплакала дівчиноніка свої ясні очі. Заплакала дівчиноніка свої ясні очі. Не плач, не плач, дівчиноніка, не плач, не журися,
краще задзвонило, бо помолиться. Краще задзвонило, бо помолиться.
Світить місяць над водою, а сонця немає. Мати сина в доріжинку залізно проводжає.
Мати сина в доріжинку залізно проводжає.
Ой, рада би ж я пила мати, ще раніше вернути.
Та ще тобі
чи живе вернусь, що як одино. Приймеш мою дівчиноньку, як рідну дитину.
Приймеш мою дівчиноньку, як рідну дитину.
Не плач, не плач, не вжуріться, хто не
And now the latest news from Ukraine, courtesy the Kiev Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest growing English language news organization. The news from March 20th, 2024. Ukrainian forces are strengthening the fortifications of the first, second, and third lines of defense in Sumy Oblast bordering Russia amid intensified attacks, according to Vadim Misnik, a spokesperson for the Ukrainian military's Northern Operational Command. Border communities in Sumy Oblast have suffered from regular Russian shelling and airstrikes since the start of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Russian attacks on Sumy Oblast have become increasingly destructive in recent weeks. A Russian attack on Seredna Buda injured 5 people last week. Another attack on March 7th killed 2 people and injured 26, with 6 civilians hospitalized. Border guards and Ukrainian troops in Sumy Oblast on March 17th stopped 3 groups of Russian saboteurs from advancing. Sumy Oblast borders the Russian regions of Kursk and Belgorod, which have recently experienced attacks from anti-Kremlin militia. The defense forces in the Sumy Oblast perform combat tasks to protect the state border and prevent Russian sabotage and reconnaissance groups and the Russian military from crossing the border, Misnik said. Ukrainian forces in Sumy Oblast are considering various options for the development of events in the region and are preparing for them, he said. Evacuation of civilians continues from the most dangerous areas of Sumy Oblast, such as the town of Velika Pisarivka, located directly on the Ukraine-Russia border. A Ukrainian man suspected of working with Russian military intelligence and planning to blow up a railway in Kharkiv Oblast has been detained, the Security Service of Ukraine announced on March 14th. The alleged saboteur is accused of trying to destroy power lines and rolling stock using a homemade improvised explosive device in an attempt to disrupt fuel and ammunition supplies headed for Ukrainian forces in the Lyman direction. The SBU said that the man's plans were discovered before he had a chance to carry them out and the identities of his Russian contacts had been established. The attacker turned out to be a local resident who worked for the main directorate of the General Staff of the Russian Armed Forces. Canada will commit over $40 million to the Czech Republic's initiative to provide Ukraine with ammunition, Canada's Defense Minister Bill Blair announced on March 19th at a press conference in Ottawa. Artillery shells are a crucial capability for Ukraine as the country faces critical ammunition shortages. Delays in U.S. military assistance caused by disputes in Congress have already had a direct impact on the battlefield, contributing to the loss of the key frontline city of Avdiivka. Czech Prime Minister Peter Fiala said on March 12th that the initiative has already secured the purchase of 300,000 shells and received non-binding commitments for 200,000 more. Canada will also be providing Ukraine with a package of night vision equipment valued at approximately $7.5 million. During the same press conference, Blair announced that Canada and other partners of Ukraine are considering purchasing Ukrainian-made drones for their own domestic security needs. Blair also announced that Canada officially joined the Ukrainian Defense Contract Group's Drone Capability Coalition, led by Ukraine and Latvia. Earlier this year, Latvia began building a coalition of about 20 countries to bolster Ukraine's arsenal of drones. Drones have been a key tool in Ukraine's defense against Russia's war. President Volodymyr Zelensky has said that surpassing Russia in drone operations is one of the country's top priorities in 2024. Amid uncertainties over Western military aid deliveries, Ukraine has intensified its efforts to ramp up domestic production of attack drones, aiming to manufacture 1 million drones this year. Ukraine's recent drone attacks have knocked out about 600,000 barrels of Russia's daily oil refining capacity, as estimated by Torbjorn Tornqvist, the director of the International Energy Commodities Trading Company Gunvor Group, Bloomberg reported on March 18th. In the past weeks, Ukrainian forces have launched a series of drone strikes aimed at damaging Russia's oil industry. Ukraine has hit oil refineries in multiple regions deep inside Russian territory. The strikes increased diesel futures for a fourth straight session, while gasoline futures climbed for a sixth, according to Bloomberg. Gunvor Group was a major trader in Russian petroleum before the full-scale invasion of Ukraine, but withdrew from the trade shortly after the all-out war started in February of 2022. Meanwhile, J.P. Morgan Chase & Company estimated that the Ukrainian attacks had disabled about 900,000 barrels per day of Russian oil refining capacity. The Ukrainian drones have recently successfully attacked 12 oil refineries in Russia. Russian President Vladimir Putin had described the attacks as an attempt to disrupt the country's pseudo-democratic presidential election, which took place March 15th to 17th, and, as expected, granted Putin a fifth term in office. Since the beginning of its full-scale invasion of Ukraine on February 24, 2022, Russia has lost 432,390 troops in Ukraine, the General Staff of Ukraine's Armed Forces reported on March 19th. This number includes 840 casualties Russian forces suffered just over the previous day. According to the report, Russia has also lost 6,819 tanks, 13,049 armored fighting vehicles, 14,191 vehicles and fuel tanks, 10,698 artillery systems, 1,017 multiple launch rocket systems, 721 air defense systems, 347 airplanes, 325 helicopters, 8,318 drones, 26 ships and boats, and a submarine. And that's the news from Ukraine for today. Coming to you courtesy the Kyiv Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest growing English language news organization. For more up-to-date news stories as they happen, visit their website, kievindependent.com, and make sure to follow them on social media. To allow this independent Ukrainian news team to continue delivering you news from on the ground in Ukraine, please consider becoming a member at kievindependent.com.
Ой, у полі калинонька.
honored artist of Ukraine, Yaroslav Rudenko, with a tribute to Ukraine's armed forces. Слава наше ЗСУ. Нагадую, ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо Кінського коріння на радіостанції CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, ще час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим, цими словами мудрості. Ніхто не знає, де вітер свій притулок має. And our proverb of the week translates as, no one knows where the wind has its refuge. And with that, we've come to the end of another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. In between broadcasts, please stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, YouTube channel, and Instagram. For transcripts, audio archives, and a link to our podcast, where you'll find the show notes and links mentioned in the show, visit our website, www.nashholos.com. You can also find Nash Holos on your favorite podcast app. I'm Pavlina, on behalf of Oksana, Anton, and myself, and all of us here at Nash Holos and CHLY, thanks so much for listening. Do zustrici.
Зарайте нам хопака!
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.